close and personal. This is John Govier's Late Night Radio Show.
So I've been allowed out of the studio again, and I'm in Torquay, and I'm a guest of Lynn Sill. Lynn is a hand analyst, which I guess, for want of a better description, is a 21st century palm reader. But there are differences, Lynn, aren't there? From the person that you imagine with the sort of scarf and the crystal ball and the tent, yeah. That's not what you're doing, is it?
No, not really. Although there are some similarities in the basics of it. But what you traditionally think of, like you say, with the crystal ball, is a fortune teller, somebody who's making predictions.
Mm.
But actually, making predictions from the hand is really difficult because the lines do change. So you can't say, this will definitely happen in so many years' time. You might see indications of things, but the best you can say is, if you carry on like this, this might happen. It's not all fixed, it's not all sort of fated and set in stone. You can make changes, and the lines do change accordingly.
If we stick with the sort of, lady at the end of the pier in the tent with the crystal ball analogy, I've heard certain things like, for instance, one of your hands tells you the past, one of your hands tells you the future.
Yeah. In traditional palmistry, they say the left is what the gods give you, the right is what you do with it. That's if you're right-handed. But it's a bit more complicated than that because the gods gave you both. You weren't just born with the one. So both hands say an awful lot about you. And when you're looking at people's hands, you're looking at them as they are now. As I say, the lines change. So it's like a snapshot in time of you as you are now.
But surely, I mean, I've always believed that your hands are the creases, the lines on your hand are the creases when your hand is screwed up, if you like, or clenched like a fist. And doesn't that form when you're in the room, a baby in the room?
Yes, it does. I mean, a lot of people, skeptics, think that the lines are just creases. But if you compare it to the other creases on the hand, like your wrists, for example, they're completely different, aren't they? If you stretch out your wrist or your elbow, it disappears. Whereas if you stretch out your hand, the lines get stronger.
And they seem to be almost under the skin as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, well, they're sort of fixing the skin to the palmar fascia underneath. But they can't be from the folding of the hand because the lines are actually formed on the hand in the fetus before the muscles develop that you need for movement. So the lines are there from about, I think the lifeline forms when the fetus is 7 to 8 weeks old. And the first reflex movements don't start till 11 weeks.
Okay, so it's not just the case of your fingers moving or your fist clenching.
Also, if it was to do with moving your hands, you would think manual workers, people who use their hands a lot, would have more lines than people who sit at a desk. And actually, usually it's the other way around.
So do we all have similar lines? I mean, are we all born with the same? Because on my hand, I've got a couple that start from over here. What are these two here?
Right, if you look sort of above your thumb, you've got the lifeline.
I'm looking at my right hand at the moment.
Yeah, yeah. The lifeline curls all the way around down towards the wrist. Around about the same place the lifeline starts, you've got the headline going across to the little finger side of the hand. And then above that, you've got the heart line, which starts underneath the little finger and goes towards the index finger side.
And does everyone have those?
Most people have the three major lines, but occasionally you get people who've only got two lines, which is that's when the headline and the heart line are fused together into one line, which is known as the simian line, or single transverse palmar crease, if you want to be scientific.
And what would that mean then? It mean that it's indistinguishable between heart and head?
Yeah, it's like the thoughts of the headline are intertwined with the emotions of the heart line. The simian crease is more commonly found on people with Down syndrome. About 65-70% of people with Down syndrome have a simian crease, but about 2% of the general population have it, and one of those is Tony Blair.
Tony Blair, Prime Minister.
He's got a simian line on both hands, actually, which is quite unusual.
Tell me how you got involved But where did your love of other people's hands start?
It started when a friend of mine kept insisting that I went for a reading. I wasn't interested at all. I was sceptical. I thought it was a load of rubbish. But that's before I knew anything about it, actually. I went for the reading, and it was really accurate. And just out of the blue, the lady that did the reading offered to teach us. So I went along, probably not with the right attitude. It was like, well, yeah, go on, let's see how they do this. But once I started learning it and trying it and testing it on people and finding that it was accurate, not all of it was, because I was learning traditional palmistry, and there's a lot of superstition, there's a lot of stuff in traditional palmistry that doesn't work. But on the whole, it's like, hey, this, how does this work? Why does it work? Which I still don't know the answer to. I don't know why it should work. But that's when I got obsessed and hooked on studying and learning more about hands.
And normally a reading, if somebody came to you, it would take an hour or more to read their hands. So
yeah,
we had a bit of a head start because I put my hands flat down on a scanner and emailed you a couple of pictures of my hands. In fact, I had to stop halfway through because I'd written my to-do list on one of them. But nevertheless, yeah, you can sort of get an idea then from somebody's scan. And yet you were telling me you can't do it from a photocopy.
Photocopies aren't clear enough. You need to be able to see all the skin ridges, basically. If you can see the fingerprints and the palmar patterns, which they're like fingerprints, but they're on your palm, made up of the skin ridges. If you can see those, then you can see all the small lines and the markings and everything.
But you need to have, I mean, I happen to have brought my own along with me today,
yeah.
but you need to have the hands in the flesh, if you like, if you want to give a proper
reading.
Yes,
there's a lot of things you can't see from a scan.
Because you've got your magnifying glass out earlier as well.
And yeah, because you can't tell the flexibility, the skin texture, the temperature of the hands. It's best to see the hands in the flesh, really.
Why do people come to you? What is it that they're after?
I get all different kinds of people coming to me, all ages, all backgrounds. But I suppose the main thing in common is that most people, when they come for a reading, are looking for a bit of guidance. They've probably reached some sort of crossroads in their life. Either where they've got choices and decisions to make, or where something's happened and, you know, they might feel the rug's been pulled from under their feet and where to go next. Which, of course, I can't tell anybody where to go next or make decisions for them. But sometimes I think it just helps to have it confirmed what you're already thinking, because that's what your hands reflect, by somebody who doesn't know you, has got no sort of interest or knowledge of you.
Almost therapeutic then.
Yeah, well, most people say it helps in some way, yeah.
And you're telling me that your hands are a reflection or a record of your life rather than a prediction in
yeah.
your eyes.
We create the lines, they don't create us.
When I scanned my hands for you and sent them in, you said make sure you scan them from your fingertips right down to your wrist.
That's
you take
right.
a very holistic approach at the hand, don't you?
Yes, I look at every aspect of the hand, absolutely everything. So some people think you just look at the lines, so they'll send you a picture of their palm, but that's no good at all. You have to look at everything in relation to everything else on the hand, because it's like no one thing has a specific meaning on its own. You have to see what it works in conjunction with.
I know that there will be people listening to this show that will say, oh, John's got one of those people on again who thinks that they can work magic.
Yeah.
I
don't think I can work magic. I've never said that.
But what is it that, I mean, because you must have a lot of sceptical people or people that say to you, oh, come on, Lynn. It's
yes.
all a fad, isn't it?
Well, yeah, you do get a lot of sceptical people, but usually they don't know anything about hand analysis.
And is it good that you went into it with that sort of healthy scepticism as well?
Yeah, I think it is, because, I mean, I do think it's very healthy to be sceptical about it. I mean, especially with something like palmistry, when even you can get modern palmistry books that are still churning out 15th century superstition and it doesn't work. So you can't believe it all, you know, you can't believe everything you read. So you've got to try it and test it.
Is there any science between behind what you do?
I mean, there's a lot of aspects of the hand that have been studied scientifically. Like I was saying about the simian 9 being more common in people with Down syndrome, there are various hand features that are more common in certain illnesses or syndromes or whatever. There's a lot of research being done on health and the hands. I mean, even doctors will look at your nails, but you know, that's not weird stuff. Doctors look at your nails for signs of health. There's been some research done with like psychology, personality profiles in the hands, and that's still very much a modern thing, really. I don't know that many conclusions have been made. Some of the research supports what palmists have said for years, and others questions it. But then some of the research that's been done by scientists, they don't know what they're looking at on the hands. So it needs to be done by both, really.
A combination of the two. You also look at any jewellery and whether you're wearing a ring and on which finger. Do things like,
yeah.
Perhaps if you look at the Indian community, they might have like henna tattoos on their hand and things like that. I mean, does all of that come into play when you're reading a hand?
To be honest, I don't know about henna tattoos. I don't know what the cultural, you know, reasons for that are. But yeah, certainly wearing rings can say something about the person. I think it's useful to go back and think, when you first started wearing that ring, what was going on in your life? When you put a ring on your fingers, it's actually sort of adding weight to that finger, so making that finger more prominent. And what you're doing is boosting the qualities of that finger.
But it's something like a wedding ring always goes third finger, left hand.
Yeah, why traditionally, because they believed that there was a vein that went from that finger to the heart, and I can't remember the name of it, and I don't know whether it exists or whether it was superstition, but that's why we put wedding rings on the third finger on the left hand.
Okay, well, I want you to take a look at, you know, don't pull any punches, take a look at my hands and tell me what you can find. You've had a bit of a head start because you've got the scans that I sent you. You've had a look under a light through a...
Yeah, magnifying glass. I've looked at your fingerprints.
You've looked at my fingerprints.
I couldn't see those on the scan.
And you've had a look at all sorts of aspects of my hand, front and back. Tell me a little bit about it after we've stopped for a piece of music. You're listening to John Govier's Late Night Radio Show across the southwest on BBC Radio's Devon and Cornwall, and in the Channel Islands on BBC Radio's Jersey and Guernsey. I'm with Lynn Seal, and you can find out what my hands say about me after this.
Journey's end. I lie in the heat of the night, feeling the heartache, wondering why. Darling, tender hands will hold you through the night.
John Govier's Late Night Radio Show, and I'm out and about. I'm in Torquay at the moment. I'm a guest of Lynn Seal. Lynn is a hand analyst, and we've already discovered that it's sort of moved on. It's evolved from the forecasting, from the predictions of palmists that you would possibly think of, with the scarf and the crystal ball and the table with the cross my palm with silver type
thing.
And yours is more of a holistic approach of the hands. And I suppose it's probably time that you just have a look at mine.
Okay.
Tell me what you could tell me. But let me just start by saying, one of the things that you looked at on my hand, first off, was the fingerprints under a magnifying glass.
That's right. The fingerprints are very important because, as most people know, your fingerprints don't change. They're formed before birth and they stay the same throughout your life. So they really do say something fundamental about you. The most common fingerprint in this country, maybe in the world, I don't know, is the loop fingerprint, which, how do I describe that? Kind of like a wave coming up on the shore. And yours are mostly loops, John. You've got 5, 6, 7, 8 loops.
Common as muck, then?
Well,
falling with the pack.
I was going to say loopy, but so when you see loop fingerprints, I suppose it means you're a regular kind of guy, you know. So it's fairly average. The ones that are different on your hands, and it's always the differences that say the most about a person, are the whorl fingerprints, which is like a spiral or concentric circles. And you've got those on your index finger and your ring finger on your right hand. Whorls, well, in traditionally they say they add talent to the finger that they're on. They add intensity, sort of concentration. When people have got whorls, they can sort of go into their own little world, really, with anything that they're interested in. Now, you've got one on the ring finger, which is the finger that's to do with art and creativity. It's also the finger that's to do with...
picking your nose.
Sport. they used to call the little finger the auricular finger, because it was the one that you use for cleaning your ears out.
Oh, right. Because it fits best.
That might be more knowledge than you needed, actually.
Maybe.
Too much detail. It's good for you to have a whorl on your index finger, actually, because your index finger is a little bit short. And also, I don't know if you can see how it curves in towards the middle finger.
Yeah.
And that in itself can bring about a slight lack of confidence, which you wouldn't expect you to have being on the radio.
No, you see, that is something. That's something that is actually very true of me.
Right.
When I'm doing things, regardless of how well I've been told they are, I always question it, whether it's good enough.
Right.
Always.
I mean, that feature, when it curves in towards the middle finger, usually goes back to childhood. It's usually sort of being under the influence of people with a stronger will than you, if you like. So it says to me that you were brought up to respect authority. And possibly that still sits there like conscience sitting on your shoulders when you're doing something. That little voice is still there. Was it good enough? Do you know, what will people think? What will they say? Did I fit in? All those kind of questions. So having a whorl fingerprint on it actually strengthens that finger, so it enables you to do more than if you didn't have such an assertive print there.
Okay. The other thing that you said when you first saw the scans was that my little finger doesn't like the rest of them very much, does it?
It sticks out a little bit.
But I can assure you that when I drink a cup of tea, I do not cock my little finger. I'm sorry, I don't do that.
Well, the little finger is the finger of communication. So it didn't surprise me at all that just stays slightly apart from the other fingers, because anybody who works with communication in any way will usually hold their little finger slightly separate. But also, your little finger is longer than average, and the top segment, or phalange as it's known, is the longest. So that's excellent for any communication skills.
Well, I'm pleased to know that I've got a long phalange.
Yes.
That makes me feel very happy indeed. Talking about career though and jobs, I mean, I probably like many other people, have had more than one job. So do things change as you...
Of course. You can't specifically say what single job somebody would be good at, because we've all got many skills and talents and there's lots of different jobs we could do. But your hand can be very useful for vocational analysis in the sense of looking at where your strengths and weaknesses are, what kind of environment you like to be in, and so they can help with what sort of job you would be good at. But you know, it's not necessarily going to tell you one particular job, although sometimes you can tell. Thinking about a guy that came for a reading, and at the end he was trying to test me, really. When I said, have you got any questions, he said, yes, tell me what job I do. And I could see on his hand there was he'd be good in any of the kind of institutions of society, things to do with buildings. There was a technical side, and I was thinking engineering, surveying. And what I actually said was architect, and he was an architect, so
spot on.
That was pretty good.
Well done. So you passed his test.
But
then.
It's not often that you can be that specific.
What about, I'm interested, because first off with me, you turned my hands over and looked at both sides. You also said, might have a little bit of trouble with circulation. Now, that's not something that I'm aware of.
It's not. Well, your hands are a little bit pale. And
I'm just peely-wally, as they say in Scotland.
Your fingers are quite cold. Maybe it's cold in here and I'm not noticing it.
Maybe I'm dead.
and your nails are quite patchy in the coloration. You've got that sort of purplish reddish aura around the moons there, which is usually to do with circulation, and the pale on the top. I mean, the other thing to do with the color of your nails, I don't know if there's anything. Obviously, I'm a palmist, I'm not a doctor,
yeah, yeah.
So you'd have to get it checked out. But when they're that colour, it can be to do with blood pressure and with the moons being as they are. So I don't know if you've got anything going on there, but you've also got a few stress lines showing on your nails.
No, never.
most people do have, actually, these lines going down your nails. And you've got a little white spot there.
Everybody has them, don't they?
No. I haven't.
Yeah.
there's a lot of misconceptions about white spots. People usually think it's mineral and vitamin deficiencies, calcium, zinc, dairy products. That's only when you've got loads of them all over your nails. When there's just the odd one, you might have just knocked your nail, or it can show a period of stress or ill health. And you can date markings on the nails because they take about 6 months to grow out from the base to the tip of the finger. Just looking at the pink bit, you know, where it joins your finger. So if there's a marking halfway up, it was around about 3 months ago.
So you're saying that about 3 months ago, there could have been a period of stress in my life or something that just caused that?
Well, yours is more like about 2 months.
Okay. Am I fit to drive back or should I pop into the hospital on the way?
No, actually, I mean, looking at the palms of your hands, you haven't got as many stress lines as a lot of people, especially as... I mean, every journalist I've ever met has got stress lines all over their hands. Their energy's all over the place.
I don't do journalism.
Yeah, but yours is a lot calmer. I mean, there's a strong physical aspect to your hand down here.
What does that mean?
So, I mean, I've said about the top phalanges of the fingers being well developed. That's the mental realm. So mental activities are important to you. But you also need a balance with the physical side of life. So, I mean, this earthy part of your hand is quite well developed.
That's the bit at the bottom of my thumb.
I mean, I know you did tell me that you like walking the dog, so
yeah.
That's probably good for you to balance out sort of mental stress. But, you know, I haven't said anything yet. I've said, works in communication, likes to walk the dog. I already know this, mm-hmm. Don't I?
Tell me about the head and the heart line then, because is it right that if one's longer than the other, that your head rules your heart or your heart rules your head? Is that sort of the basics?
It's not just as simple as if one's longer than the other. When you're looking at any line, you've got to take into account the way it flows across the hand, the depth, the width, the coloration, the length. So you're looking at all aspects and how many markings they've got on them. Your head line on your right hand runs very smoothly across the hand. It's quite a sort of direct way of thinking, what I would say straight thinking, straight talking kind of headline.
I wonder if my boss is listening.
But it's quite long. It goes virtually, I mean, it's quite faint there, but it does go virtually all the way across your hand, which shows that you're open to a wide range of ideas, a broad perspective. If it was a shorter line, like mine is actually, then you only think things through so far and you're not open to all the what ifs. Yours is much more philosophical, mine's more scientific.
Okay.
On your left hand, it's completely different actually. It's quite complicated. So there's a lot more going on inside. You're thinking, it's quite a bit more convoluted, your way of thinking. So that being on your left hand, that's like the private you. That's more like you when you're on your own at home thinking about things. It's a lot more complicated than you actually show to the outside
and
world.
The public me.
Mm.
Yeah, go along with it. This is like the B routes and this is the motorway.
I suppose so. I don't drive, so that means nothing to me.
Okay. And I want to ask you another question because I'm sure this is one that crops up time after time after time. Your lifeline, does it tell you
no.
anything?
You're going to ask me, does it tell your length of life?
Yeah.
No, you can't tell how long somebody's going to live from their lifeline. That's old-fashioned palmistry. Research has been done on that, and it doesn't work. You can't tell. It's more to do with your sort of energy, vitality. It's also to do with your lifestyle. And as I said, you've got to look at all the markings and everything. But very simply, if somebody's got a short lifeline, it usually means they need to use their energy in fits and starts. They haven't got a lot of stamina. But a lot of people think they've got a short line, when actually they haven't. They've got what's known as a reduplication, where it stops and starts again and might jump out, you know, a few millimetres into the palm, which would show some sort of change in lifestyle.
Almost enough about me, but I noticed that in your scribbles, very neat writing around my scans, you've marked down something was around the age of 45.
Yes, on both hands, your lifeline forks. So that, I mean, dating, I can't do it specifically, but I would say around mid-40s. And also, I've written on your fate line, which is the line that's usually to do with work, changes between 40 and 45. The principle behind that fork.
I'm
going to
get a job as a belly dancer on a cruise liner or something, aren't I?
The principle behind that fork on your lifeline is some sort of change. It's a crossroads, and it looks to me as if you could have sort of carried on as you were, but it was time for a change of some kind, which the transition period could have been a bit scary, because you can see it could affect your security and stability, and that's very strong on your hand.
And this has happened, or is you, do you know whether it's happened or whether it's about to happen?
Well,
because mid-40s for me is now.
Right. No, I can't tell whether it's happened or about to. Mind you, I didn't look at it on your live hand. Sometimes you get a bit of like coloration on the line, which shows where it's sort of active. But no, I wouldn't have been able to say. All I could have said is, if it hasn't happened within the last sort of 18 months, then it's coming up sometime probably this year.
Okay.
Change in lifestyle could involve travel.
That's promotion, Mr. moves. Wallace, promotion.
The other thing that's interesting on your hands, the most sort of unusual thing, is that you've got almost two heart lines. There's your main heart line, which is the line that's to do with emotions and relationships. And then above that, you've got another one parallel to it, which is like a higher level of the emotions. So that is actually quite a romantic heart line. The main line stays low, so that's the emotions that you keep in. The higher line is quite, I would say, idealistic. Any partner's got quite a lot to live up to, you know. And when you fall, you could put them on a pedestal and, you know, think they're absolutely wonderful. And that double lifeline shows tremendous devotion and loyalty in relationships.
Okay. Well, I'd like to end on that note, because it's a good one, and it's always positive to end on a good note. Lynn, just one other question. Have you ever done anybody famous's hands? Has anybody famous come to see you?
No.
Well, they will now. Lynn Seal, thank you very much indeed. Do you know, I've really enjoyed the last 30 minutes or so. It's been great fun. Thank you very much. And I wish you the best of luck, and thanks for inviting me around to your house.
Thanks, John. Can I mention my website?
Of course you can.
Go?
Yes, yeah.
www.handanalysis.co.uk.
www.handanalysis.co.uk.
And can I also do a plug and say that we do teach as well palmistry and tarot, and new courses coming up soon.
You just have.
If anyone's interested. Thank you.
All right, Lynn. Thanks very much indeed.
Thanks, John.